Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and I'm very excited to have Dan Schinder back in the studio again. Although we stumped him because he's like, wait a minute, this feels like a new place. And indeed it is. Dan is the CEO and founder with Social Media on Steroids and Drum Talk TV. Welcome back, Dan.
Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, I came up here. Everything looked different. I thought I was lost.
Yep. Well, it's the second floor again and only about a mile and a half from where we were in the Wells Fargo building just down the street on Broadway. But now we're in the Max 6 co-work space, and we love this new space. In our old studio, it was literally just, it felt like a closet. Remember? There
yes.
was no window,
right.
And anybody walking by on the inside couldn't see us. So now I feel like a legit,
yeah, this
it's
is
a
great.
Legit deal. Yeah.
Yeah, this is comfortable.
Thank you.
Really
yeah,
nice.
And we can move around, right?
Yeah.
The old studio, I had to literally make sure I was the first one in and had to motion, tell people where to sit, and there was no way I could get out unless they all exited. So
yeah, here you have room for a pillow fight with room to swing.
Wow.
Big difference.
Well, okay. Yes, this is true. That's, I have yet to hear that is a description, but there's plenty of room. I love it. And we've had full houses, right? So Dan is here with Inja One.
Perfect.
Yay. I said I was going to practice. And Inja is Dan's wife and a separate business owner. So we're going to have you on at the 3 o'clock hour, which I'm so excited about. That was Dan's suggestion. I'm like, of course, we'll do that.
Oh, cool. Well, thanks, Punkin.
Yeah. Sure. And so it's just the two of you, but we do have enough room for whatever we want to go here. So
yeah.
Next time you're back, you'll have to bring your whole entourage, all of your kids.
Oh,
what would they all fit in? How many grandkids
11
you said?
Kids
11 kids.
And 19 grandkids.
What? And the two of you, honestly, don't even look like you're out of your 30s yet.
Oh, wow.
So
thanks a lot.
How is that even possible?
We're older than we look.
There you go. Right. You found the fountain of youth.
Okay, well, I'm going to say I started early, too. So I got a little cheating there.
I think maybe both, right?
A little bit.
Yeah. So maybe the studio isn't that big. But either just the grandkids or just the kids.
Or just the ones we like.
Hey, now you're talking. Okay. You're going to get in trouble for that one. All right. So now we're going to make this all about Dan, social media on steroids, Drum Talk TV. But Dan did say that every once in a while, he may have to defer and look over to Inja. So we're going to keep your mic open or bring you back on if the moment occurs. And then for those of you listening with us right now, stay tuned because we're going to be talking about art and creativity and the magic of all the beauty that you create in your work and field, Inja, when we come back at 3. So Dan, let's have you start by introducing yourself. I know a lot of projects going on, but let's have you tell us a little bit about social media on steroids and Drum Talk TV, and maybe one came before the other. Just mm-hmm. spill it. Tell us who you are.
Okay, thank you. So January 1st of 2013, I officially started Drum Talk TV. And I say officially because for 6 months before that, I had a different platform where I was teaching drum lessons online. And October of 2012, I was on my way to go visit two of my kids in San Diego. And Inja happened to notice there was a bunch of camera gear stacked by the door. And she said, why are you taking all that? And I said, oh, I just have this idea. I'm going to interview two of my friends, David and Danny, on the way down there. And she says, what do you mean interview them? And I said, well, I just have this other idea to add to the website, interviewing other drummers. And her face got big and she said, that's going to put you on the map. I said, what? She said, interviews. I said, you're crazy. It's all about the drum lessons. And she said, you'll see. I went about my business, went down there, did a couple interviews, brought them back. We watched them together. And she said, see, I told you, and kind of wasn't still convinced quite yet, but she pushed the issue. And then a friend of mine chimed in, and then he had a friend in television call me to say, this is really good stuff, and no offense, but your drum lessons platform is watering all this down. You should just go with the interviews. So January 1st, I officially opened Drum Talk TV as a corporation, and we had 47,000 active fans on Facebook in the first 7 weeks without paying for ads or boosting posts. And a few months later, the success just kept getting bigger and bigger. We were reaching 20 million people a month. well, a week at that time till Facebook made some changes. And I knew I had something to share. So I started a series of products and consulting and services and webinars and all this stuff called social media on steroids. And I started teaching to musicians how I did this, how I built a huge audience and why that's important to your business, whether you're in the arts, whether it's a nonprofit, no matter what it is. And it just has all exploded in both directions since then. And now I've opened sort of a third wing to that, where it caters specifically to musicians only. And it's social media it's called socialmediamarketingformusicians.com. And I'm writing, I'm in the middle of a series of Kindles and I give free webinars once a month. And it's just a blast. It's two full-time careers.
There's so many gold nuggets in what you just shared, right? I love the entrepreneurial story where someone who has a passion and a skill set, in this case, drumming and teaching, and wanting to do it online, and then finding your magic in how to build that business and really be of service to the people that you're serving, right? In this case, this magic around the interviews,
yeah,
and broadening your reach and giving that exposure to other musicians, right? Mm-hmm. And then teaching others how to do that. Like yeah. That to me, those are always my favorite stories around successful business owners, because when we get it and we are like, oh, this is the magic, I believe we need to be in service to others and teach them how to do that. So kudos to you. And what an exciting story. And of course, I'm like raising, obviously this is radio, so you can't see me, but when you're talking about the interview magic, yeah. I looked at Injun and I said, oh my gosh, like arms up in the air. That's what we do. I know you and I have talked offline yeah. and off air, in addition to having an opportunity to reconnect at NSA, National Speakers Association. That's our magic
yeah.
here at Business Radio X. When I first opened the studio, I was looking to do a podcast about an executive leadership coach and how to get your mindset straight. But I thought, I do not want to get on a podcast week in and week out and just talk about me mm-hmm. or have me be the only one sharing the wisdom,
right?
Because I'd be done, you know, in what, a couple of episodes, right? And no one... Probably the advice that you had from the TV guys, like, really, no one cares. They do care, but we need to show them that we care about others, right?
Yeah.
Are we singing from the same sheet of
music? Yeah, definitely, because the spirit of Drum Talk TV is that when she asked me, what do you mean interviews? I said, well, I just believe that drummers can learn more from just sitting at a drum set or a practice pad. We can learn from each other's perspectives based on their unique experiences. And that's really the spirit of Drum Talk TV's interviews. We've expanded and we cover events now. We interview not just famous drummers, but up-and-coming drummers. We interview people that make the gear. We cover live events. And one of the biggest epiphanies I had towards the end of the first year was that we now, and ever since then, we curate videos from our fans, from which is now over 130 countries. And wow. Drum Talk TV wouldn't be what it is without that. It would be, and it would be good. It would just be something else. But when it comes to social media marketing, there's five things that are very, very important. And one is to stay present. One is to stay relevant. The other is to be helpful to others. The other is to be inclusive. And the other is to be seen as an expert in your field. The same rules as for blogging. But with social media marketing, when you can be inclusive, that is the magic. Otherwise, you're just a brand talking at your target market. And if you look at brands like Levi's, Tabasco, McDonald's, a lot of big brands on social media, take Facebook, they have millions and millions of followers, but you look through their feed of all their posts and there's no interaction because all they're doing is megaphoning what's for sale. Whereas the epiphany I had was we used to have this snobby thing that was not intended to be snobby, but when people messaged the page, which we had to close, has to go through our website now, but people would message a page saying, here's my video. Will you share my video? Here's a video. Will you share my video? Hey, can you share this video? And we had this auto reply that said, thank you for your submission, but we don't take submissions. There's plenty of groups on Facebook where you can share your post.
But we don't do that.
Yeah, we don't do that. Drum Talk TV is for interviews with the artists, blah, blah, blah. one day I checked the messages myself and I saw a submission. And as I'm watching this guy play, I physically felt my face smile. And then I froze and said, wait a minute. I'm smiling. I'm enjoying this. I'm a member of the community that we cater to. I'm part of that tribe. So if I'm enjoying this and I'm smiling, that means other people will too. And right at that moment, we made a 180 and we built a porthole for which people could submit their videos, and there's rules and tips and guidelines and all this. And that was, like I said, the end of the first year. We went from 50,000 fans to 100,000 fans in 3 months. And we've been doing it ever since. And it's not just the classic rock stuff. It's not just metal. It is everything from metal to rock to jazz to tablas in India, drums from Morocco, taiko drums in Japan, big band swing, symphonic marching band.
Drums with a capital D.
Yeah, it really is. And a neat thing is that not only drummers follow us. We're followed by fellow musicians and just music fans. And that's partly what makes it, in my opinion, a successful lifestyle channel, is that we're not just catering to a group of people with the doors closed. Okay, we're only fishermen, or we're only hot rod guys, or we're only dancing girls, or a crochet club. It's for anybody that wants to be a part of that, or just sit back and enjoy it as an innocent bystander in any way.
You said lifestyle channel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I wouldn't have said that until you've explained who Drum Talk TV is, because it is for everybody.
It's really
just around the lifestyle of joy and music and collaboration and creativity.
Yeah.
Right?
And we get messages from people that say things like, I'm 65 years old. I've always wanted to play the drums and now I'm taking lessons. Or I'm 58 and I played when I was a kid and now I'm getting back into it thanks to the inspiration I've seen. And it's just a blast. And it was the success of Drum Talk TV that Social Media on Steroids was born out of. Because again, I wanted to share this. It started in the music industry because most creatives, and if you're creative out there, it's not a criticism. I'm from that community, but most creatives, we think with the right side of our brain and we don't address the analytical part. And most musicians, most people in the arts are not business people. Right. They're not trained business people. They have no business experience and they just want to kind of airy fairy float their way through it. And they're all copying the person that's about to fail the test. I use the expression, stop following everyone off the cliff and learn how to do this. I'm offering
for yourself.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Some of it's free. Some of it costs a little money. Some of it costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
It just depends on what you want to do. My Kindle book series is social media marketing for musicians that works. There's a lot of people out there putting this stuff out there. I think the only one I've seen that's putting it out there teaching from the experience of really good success. These are all strategies that I've developed myself and I've had to morph and tweak with the changes in social media, but it's 30,000 plus hours of my own blood, sweat, and tears, and now a staff where we've figured out that works. And it breaks my heart every day when I'm on Facebook, I see these musicians and other artists making all kinds of mistakes. And I'm offering this, but a lot of them don't want to learn. Because if I have to learn, that means I have to work. That means I have to do more. What, a book series? You mean I got to read more than one book? They'd rather just keep blowing it.
Or my experience has been with business owners, so not necessarily musicians, mm-hmm. but they'd rather subscribe to and sometimes pay a lot of money for the done-for-you type of products or services, and they don't always work.
And the problem with that is that if I want to hire someone, if anyone out there wants to hire someone for that service, and I am available, you can't hire someone unless you know how to vet them. You don't know if they've had success in it unless you know what success is. You know the right questions to ask, the right reports to ask for, the right things to look at. Let me see what you've done. I've worked not only in the music industry with gold and platinum artists, and I've helped some big bands crowd the band Foghat. I helped them crowdfund their last album.
Really?
Yeah. There's someone else recently. Oh, Yuval Ron, who is a Israeli progressive rock guitarist and composer who lives in Germany. And he just crowdfunded his new project, and he took one of my courses. But aside from the music industry, I work with Ford. I've worked with makers of music gear that are not musicians. I've done video marketing for companies like Taco Bell, KFC, McDonald's, the Sydney to Hobart race in Australia. So it all works the same way, whether it's a shoe store, a rock star, or a pizza chain, or a boat dealership. It all works the same way, but you still need to know how to work it. And I teach it to any business niche. And I consult, I can train, I can provide the service. But when I discovered that stuff was really, really working, it never crossed my mind for a moment that, I'm going to keep this to myself. Yeah, it was like, oh my God, I've discovered something that everybody, it's like discovering a cure, really. Because most people are out there just bumping around. And as I mentioned, copying the person who's failing the test anyways.
Yeah.
And it's been a hard sell, to be honest with you. And I think with businesses, often it's a hard sell because they've got a PR company doing it, or we got a marketing company, or we got an advertiser, and they don't know how to do it. They don't.
They don't. And yet they're going to sell those services frequently.
Right.
And again, not everybody, right? But I've seen it happen time and time again. Oh yeah, we're a PR firm, but we're also an agency. We do everything. And they will commit and promise, but folks don't know how to vet or ask the right set of questions. So they don't know what they're getting until they've already paid. They're committed oftentimes with a contract, and then they're terribly disappointed.
Yeah.
They might be getting one aspect, nailing one aspect of it, but the social media piece is lost on them.
Many
providers.
And many of them don't know that their provider or themselves are not getting results.
How do you know when you're getting results? And is that a fair question to ask?
It is. And the biggest answer, the bean counters, you know, the presidents of the company and all that, they're going to say, well, more sales. But can you track that? Yeah, you can. But before more sales come, you have to build brand awareness. The more people, so there's something I use called the 5% rule, leveraging the 5% rule. If only 5% of your audience is going to become clients or customers, and if you can't change that factor, let's just say it's 5%. Some industries it's 2, some it's 12. Let's just say it's 5%. If you can't change that factor, you have to change what it's 5% of. So people need to ask themselves, would you rather get 5% of 10,000 people to be your clients, 100,000 people, 1 million people? So while you're building this brand awareness, you then also have to create trust, likability, and brand love. And then they'll pay, then they'll donate, then they'll sign up for something, then they'll buy. But a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to do a crowdfunding campaign and I'll just build it and people will come, or I'll advertise what I have for sale and people will buy it. It's just like before there was social media. Businesses had to build trust, likability, and brand love, and have a relationship. The posts that we put on social media for business are our opportunity to build that relationship. When I was young, I'm about the oldest one in the room, but when I was young.
He said about.
We'd.
And we're both giving you the evil eye. I'm just going to pause.
Well, I figure Dan's older than I.
No, Dan is not older than any of us.
You know, you'd walk into your neighborhood shoe store or deli or whatever, and the door thing would ring, ding, 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 and the proprietor would say, hey, Arnie, Elaine, come on in. What can I get you? How's little Danny? How's your dog Tootsie and your cat Judy? And how's your sister liking second grade? And, you know, they knew everything about you. We have that same opportunity in digital as well. You can learn anything you want from your followers on social media. You just got to ask them. You can learn when they buy, how often they buy, how much they buy, where do they spend with, what do they like, what do they not like, what do they want more of, what do they want less of. You can curb your marketing and sales strategies based on what you learn from social media. And then you end up, when you do this and you really use that inclusive factor, you create super users. So 4 or 5 times a week, I do a live video vlog on the Drum Talk TV Facebook page. There's always, no matter what time I'm doing it, and we have followers in 130 countries, no matter what time I'm doing it, there's 1, 2, or 3 handfuls of people that I always see on there. And it's great because you know them. And then we travel around the world covering different events and doing interviews and things, and I'll get to meet these people in person. But before I've met them, I've built a personal relationship with them, not just necessarily on the Drum Talk TV page, but then we connect personally online. And it's a blast.
It's magical, isn't it?
Yeah, I love boasting that I have a couch to sleep on and a bathroom to pee in 130 countries.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
I love it.
Because it's a real relationship thing.
We had one of the founders for the Beard Club on not too long ago. And I was fascinated. So he said a lot of the similar things, right? It's about letting people know who you are, what you're passionate about, but inviting them to be a part of that.
The inclusive factor, yeah.
Right.
And you know what? What you just said reminded me that in business, on social media, most businesses are leaving the social part out. And all they're doing is using
speaking to everybody.
Jamming down the consumer's throat what they think they need to know about their product. If all you advertise is what's for sale, download this coupon, look at our new model, check out this new thing, come to this event. If that's all you do, you cannot build a community of your target market in love with what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, it works the same way for music, for pizza shop, for shoe stores chain. If we take a boat dealership, if I'm the owner of the dealership, 20% of the time, I'm going to talk about what's for sale. 80% of the time, I'm going to add some DIY stuff. Here's how you wax your hull. Here's how you do an oil filter change. Here's how you decide what boat you want to pull skiers with. And here's some destinations. What's your favorite destination? And I'd have a long, long, long list of things for people to submit videos on. How do you enjoy your boat? What kind of boat is this? A racing boat, a ski boat, a fishing boat, a pontoon, a canoe, a kayak, you know? And that's what businesses are missing in social media. Is building a community around their brand.
Would you say, which platform would you say, I guess is probably the way I should ask that, should people master?
Facebook first. And there's a lot of people out there saying, no, the millennials and the 18 to 24-year-olds are on Instagram. Facebook first. Take it from the guy with over 1 million followers that has never spent money to do that. The reason why is two main reasons. One, there are 2 billion Facebook users every single day, and half of them are using it on a mobile device. 2017, the mobile app for Facebook was the number one platform of choice for millennials. So a lot of people are listening to a lot of stuff, but they're not doing research. They're not looking at the actual statistics. So that's one reason. That's where the biggest populace of consumers are. 64% of all consumers use Facebook. 72% of all online sales last year were driven by video on social media. The other reason is because Facebook has every bell, whistle, application, widget, anything you can think of that all the others do are neatly rolled up into one platform. So if you master Facebook first and the concepts of social media marketing and digital marketing, then anything else is sandbox, is easy. You're just repurposing content and making it fit in the hole, taking that peg that's shaped differently, jamming it into a different hole with the parameters of that platform and the variance of the human behavior of how that platform's used differently. So Twitter versus Facebook, YouTube versus Facebook, they all kind of do the same thing, but they're used differently as well as have different mechanics themselves. It's easy after that. And that's what I teach.
Do you believe that a business owner, not just necessarily a musician, but a business mm-hmm. owner has to, how I was going to ask that. Sometimes we have folks come in here and say, you know, you ought to be on LinkedIn, like to your point a second ago. Does a business owner, should they be on all platforms or are there different platforms that work better for different industries?
That's a really good question. So I believe from my experience, not only personally, but working with hundreds of clients in the last 6 years or so, that Facebook can work for anybody, any business, any niche, even if it's B2B. LinkedIn is, even though you can have followers, it's not a community building platform for a brand per se, even though a brand can have a channel just like YouTube. You know, we have a Drum Talk TV YouTube channel. It's more to network with people. And especially if you're looking for work or you're looking to make a change in a career or the C-level that you're at in a same industry, it's a way to really network that.
Mm-hmm.
But to sell products, to sell a brand,
Facebook,
to sell services, yeah, it really is Facebook. But any business owner and any business should be on multiple platforms, at least Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and can throw in Twitter and LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And it's really not, I like to tell people, it's not hard to do. It's so easy. A drummer can do it. I did it.
That's cute. That's so true.
It's like anything. My dad told me one of the things that stuck with me out of who knows how much advice he ever gave me. The thing that stuck the most, I was 8 or 9 years old. We were at an air show. There was a small Piper Cub parked and the guy was signing people up for lessons. We went and looked at the plane and I remember running my hand against the fuselage. And the guy said to my dad, do you want to put your boy in the cockpit? And he said, do you want to say, sure. So he picked me up, put me in the cockpit. All these switches and levers and knobs and lights and meters. It looked like Star Trek, right? And I said to my dad, I said, Dad, is it hard to fly an airplane? He said, nothing's hard if you know how to do it, including flying an airplane. This is the same thing, but people need to be open to learning from experts who know how to do it. And there's not a lot. I watch a lot of webinars to see what other people are doing. And there's stuff that they're teaching that is like, no, it's not like that. That's bad advice. It won't work if you do that. Or there is not this impedance that they're submitting that they're, and it's hard for people to decide who to listen to.
Yeah, I agree. I remember years ago, even before social media really hit, to have a website built, right? To have a website designed, tens of thousands of dollars. And and I've done that 3-4 times over and left unsatisfied because I didn't know what to ask.
Yeah.
Finally, to have to learn enough about it myself. And we were fortunate enough to have enough teachers on how to do it that I could start hiring the right people. But I had to have that learning curve myself. Social media is no different. Running a business, Business Radio X studio is no different, right? You've got to spend time learning so that then you can either continue to do it or hire the right group of people to help you.
Exactly.
Yeah. What's the biggest mistake that people make with their social media marketing? Have we already addressed that?
No. Not learning from me. No, just kidding.
And that's it for Phoenix Business Radio X.
You know, the biggest mistake is that, I kind of mentioned it, the biggest mistake is that people view it as only a medium to advertise and promote. They don't think of the community building aspect and they don't take the time to learn how to do it. And one of the biggest mechanical errors I see, and my third Kindle that's almost done is about this, is people, hashtags are the most overused and misused function of social media marketing. People are using them to express an emotion. That's not what a hashtag is. That hashtag won't do anything for the business. A hashtag is really to be used in two ways. One is for discovery of similar material of your own. And the other is to link campaigns together. So for instance, every January, Drum Talk TV covers the largest music trade show in North America. It's called the NAMM show, N-A-M-M, National Association of Music Merchants. But it's really a global thing. So the mistake a lot of people make on their posts regarding the NAMM show is they'll just put hashtag NAMM. What we do is we put hashtag DTTV for Drum Talk TV, NAMM, and then the year, 17. On every interview we do at the NAMM show, this way, if we were to just put, because the biggest mistake is people who are using generic tags. If we put hashtag NAMM, where's our stuff going to show up with 682,421 other posts with that same hashtag? But no one else is going to use DTTV NAMM 17. So if someone sees that in a post and they click on it, it's going to populate with all of our interviews from that event. Same thing when we cover the drum festival in Singapore. It just goes on and on. But when people put hashtag, let's say, Shure or Alesis or Tascam, hashtag brand or hashtag generic, it's just lost in a sea of everything. It won't create ways for people to discover more posts of yours, and it doesn't give you, the content creator, a way to measure all your posts from that campaign and see which ones are doing better so you can do more like that and scrub these, stop doing them. That's the biggest mechanical mistake that I see. But the biggest overall mistake is that people are only promoting and they're not building brand awareness, building a relationship with their audience, because you can't get them to, I heard years ago, and I believe it's still the same, it takes someone to be solicited 7 times to sign up for a newsletter before they'll finally do it, if they're going to do it at all. So if we think about that, if you have a crowdfunding campaign or a new product that you're launching or a new location or whatever it is, how many times do people need to get that in front of them without feeling like it's being jammed down their throat? And the X factor in that is by having other content that they're going to love following, that they're, that's going to edify them. It's going to make them laugh. It's going to be relatable. It's going to resonate with them. Oh, and here's a promo for another location. You see that a couple, 3 times. Okay, let's check it out. I'm in love with what they do. I just love their messaging. That's successful digital marketing.
I don't think I'm going to be able to remember the 5 things you mentioned. Elevating yourself as an expert in the industry.
Yeah, that's one of them. Staying present and staying relevant. So a lot of people say, oh, I don't want to do any marketing yet. I'm not ready to learn what you have because my product's not ready. They wait until their product's ready.
Their relationships have been built.
Yeah, they haven't. Community. Exactly. They launch it and they hear crickets and see a tumbleweed
blow
by. Is
that what you mean by present? That was the word I wanted to hear
always
more about.
Always stay present.
Visible. You're always out there,
right.
Even if you're not.
Whether you've got something new or not, you are on the top of people's minds. Because, like, how long has it been since George Takei has been on Star Trek? But he has one of the most engaged Facebook pages because of his topics. And he's staying present and staying relevant. Mm-hmm. Even though he's in his late 70s now, he hasn't been on Star Trek in years. But now he's a conversationalist. So when you stay present and stay relevant, You're keeping everybody's attention. It's like someone who gets out in front on stage and warms up the crowd, and then they're going to introduce the keynote speaker. Without that person warming up the crowd, they might not stay in the room. You've got to keep people in the room by staying present and staying relevant, whether you have something new or not. Because whether you have something new or not, what you do, what your brand is all about, should still resonate with people. And what all that list of whatever is the list of topics to be posting about 2 to 3 times a day, 7 days a week. That's another heart attack I give people.
I was just having that heart attack. Yeah. 2 to 3 times a day,
seven days a week. And that's just on Facebook. That's
right.
Just taking Facebook. There's a couple of reasons why. One, even if we take a local market like Phoenix, not everyone's online at the same time. So if you just post once a day, they might not see it. The other shocking thing is, I'm real good at dishing out heart attacks, right? As proud as I am that we have over 1 million followers, Facebook is typically showing your content to only 5 to 20% of your audience.
Is it that low?
Yes. And which 5 to 20%? Is it the same?
We don't get to pick.
Right. Is it the same every post, every day, every week? So there's that factor. And then there's the factor that Facebook figures that if you're not going to use the platform, so if you're only posting once a week, 3 times a week, or even once a day, we don't need to show your content to anybody because you're really not using the tool. So by posting more frequently, it's like priming the pump. And that's everything, is getting Facebook to open the gate, let your material out there. And then your material's got to be good enough so that when people who are following you see it, it resonates with them and they share it with like-minded people. So going back to the boat dealership, if I'm a water skier and I see your boat dealership post something that's a really nice boat, it's really not that expensive, you got great financing, and these men and women are doing great fancy tricks and stuff, my friends who I go water skiing with, guess who I'm sharing the post to?
Right.
And this is how organic growth happens. The comments and posts are where we humanize the experience and where we grow organically and build the relationship. We tear down that digital facade, and the shares are where we grow organically. That was the success of Drum Talk TV and me never having to spend a penny on boosting posts or running ads, because our content resonated with people. But I also share it into many different groups. That's what I did in the beginning. I had this routine where I belonged to 200 groups, 80% of them are music, 80% of those are drumming, and I share posts into groups that they're appropriate for. And that was a big way of how I use the analogy of loading a crop duster up with seeds and flying over that plot way over there and that one way over there, not just relying on our own plot of land to grow corn.
Mm-hmm.
And it works. It's one of the few tasks I have not let go of. We have over 1 million fans. We've got several sponsors, marketing advertisers. I'm still the one that shares our posts. Unless I'm doing the live vlog or interviews, then I have an associate producer that does it while we're live.
Yeah. Wow. So many nuggets. I
hope not to overwhelm people.
No, it's not overwhelming at all. I mean, it's really an important conversation. So many different aspects of this are critical, right? Again, not just for musicians and the creatives, but business owners, whether you're, you know, in a linear thinking type of business, you know, the attorneys, the real estate, mm-hmm. the finance people, or way on the other side, the artist and the musician. Social media is a great gift to everybody if used correctly.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
And we haven't even scratched the surface. It's fascinating. My mind keeps saying, talk to Dan after this segment. Talk to Dan after the segment. We're only doing a little bit and it's working. And so I'm curious about your ideas for more. Can we talk a little bit about video? You mentioned that you have the Drum Talk TV YouTube channel.
Yeah.
What would you share with business owners about the use of video? I personally, and I'll add this with just an observation, the few times that I've done video, just a, hey, we're at the studio today and look, so-and-so's coming on, the amount of views compared to just, you know, posting a show and, mm-hmm. and saying, hey, they're coming on at 1 o'clock or whatever, is, you can't even compare it.
Right. So video is part of my background. I had a video production company for 14, 15 years before I started Drum Talk TV. So I'm very sold on video. And we have the YouTube channel, but we actually get many more views on Facebook because we've built such a huge community there. YouTube is more of a broadcast channel and a way to be found. Yes, you can get subscribers, but it's a lot easier to build a following of people that are truly in love with what you do on Facebook and on Instagram, because those are what those platforms are really for. They're community building. But video is the number one preferred form of content that people want to get their information from, whether it's the news, whether it's learning how to do something, whether it's educational or entertaining. It's video, video, and video. And one of the things I teach is that on Facebook, really anywhere, Instagram might be an exception, but even on Twitter, we put video. On Instagram, we just started putting video. It only takes a 1 minute video, but video over photos, anytime you can do them, are always going to win, always. When people post without any visual whatsoever, they might as well just not even waste their time. You know, for everybody listening, think of how you use Facebook on the phone. Facebook, for example, we scroll with our finger, right? Like this finger is so much stronger than this finger from doing this, right?
Right.
And I'm like anybody else. I'm a consumer. And when I scroll, I'm not looking for magic words or a catchphrase. I'm
Something
looking
to
for
catch your eye.
Right. And the video, when the video comes in view in the feed, then it comes to life and it starts moving. And then you can click on the sound, unless you have auto sound on. A selling line I had for my video production company was, if a picture is worth 1,000 words, then video's worth 1,000 pictures. It's just that much more valuable. And people shouldn't get hung up on being shy in front of the camera. You talk about your business every day, whether it's to your customers or your staff or your providers or who you are a vendor of. So that's nothing new. Don't get hung up on it being a Steven Spielberg production either. Smartphones are fine. Tablets, iPads, those are fine. Things like a full-blown commercial about a product or service is different. You want the high production value. Other than that, like I have drummers say, you know, I say, hey, man, you're really good. Just send me a video. Send us a video. Here's the link. Yeah, we're thinking of working on a new video, looking for a little. I'm like, dude, just strap the smartphone to your dog's forehead and make sure it's watching you play. It's all you need. Or right. People will say, they'll submit something and our guy will say, yeah, you've been approved, this and this. It's going to publish on this date at this time. And they'll send a message back saying, do you want me to send the original file? Because we have them send either a Facebook video link or a YouTube video link, and we download it from there. It's like, it doesn't matter if we have the original file. No one's going to know the difference, whether it was HD or this. And it's social media. There's so much latitude. It's about the content, not the production value. It's the value of the content of what you're offering people. And that's what we should all think as content creators when we are marketing our business, marketing our services or our products. What are they going to get out of the experience of following us? And if it's only what's for sale, that's not really them getting anything out of it. Mm. That's why we offer things like DIY oil changes and taking care of the interior. Oh, your kids are grown. Get rid of the van. Let's get you into a sports car. Or, hey, guess what? I get rid of the sports car. She's pregnant. You know, we've been through both sides of that. So as content creators, we need to wear the fan's hat, sit at the grown-ups table, and be honest with ourselves and say, is this really cool, or is it cool because I think it's cool, or because my friends who will hold my hand, smile, and nod and walk me all the way to the cliff because they don't want to hurt my feelings, think it's cool? No, we need to look at it from a business standpoint and shouldn't post something unless we believe it's going to do well. And if we indeed believe it's going to do well, we should be able to look at the post and identify why it's going to do well. The question at the beginning, it's going to pique their interest. The video, oh, that's going to get them going from the front because it's action. It's whatever it is for whatever industry we're in, the answer is going to be different. But we should be able to identify those things. And partly the way to identify is to look at the statistics. What videos have done better than others? Let's dissect them. What's working here? If you don't know, and usually there's two ways you could tell if something's working well or not. I'm sorry, the main way is by looking at the comments. If a video or any post flopped, you can usually learn by the comments. And if there's no comments, that means it either didn't reach anyone, and you could see those numbers, or if it reached people, just didn't engage them. Mm-hmm. And a video that goes viral or does pretty well, you'll be able to tell from the comments. Whoa, look at that jump, motocross. Whoa, did you see his left hand? Drumming. Whoa, what a beautiful time-lapse sunset travel. You know, whatever it is, you can tell by the comments. We just need to listen to what they're saying and not always be talking.
Is there more to auditing your social media than that? Or, I mean, that's a good start, but is there more to it than that?
There's a little more to it. One is looking at your analytics, your insights every week, particularly on the same day. I look at our overview stats, which shows post engagements, video views, the reach, and the amount of followers and new page likes for that week. Every day you look at it, it's showing you the previous 7 days. The other way is to look at the people tab under insights, and there's four tabs. One of them doesn't matter because Facebook calls it your fans. They're not your fans. They're people who have liked your page. Those aren't fans. Fans are people who actually follow your content and engage. So the other three are people engaged, people reached, and your followers. I look at those to see, and it shows you the gender split. It shows you the age split. It shows you the top 10 cities, countries, and languages. So even a local business here in Phoenix, you should know, are there a lot of Spanish-speaking people that are watching? And if so, should you mix in things with subtitles or Spanish language or whatever it is? The other way to audit is to go through every post from the past 3 days, every day, and make sure there's questions that aren't going unanswered, because that looks lame. People ask a question, just when you make them think you're tearing down the digital facade and humanizing it, they ask a question.
And then, yeah,
exactly. It's a valuable, valuable way to build that relationship. Those are the two biggest ways: monitoring the stats, knowing what to look at, and going through the posts and look at what people are saying, and ask a question in the comments if you need to as well. Or at least if you had 143 comments, write a blanket comment at the end. Hey, everybody, thanks for playing. Thanks for your input. You know, thanks for your feedback. Hey, good suggestions, or whatever fits, whatever the context is.
Yeah. How do folks get to pick your brain? I mean, you know, like pay to play. Mm-hmm. You mentioned early on that, and I certainly believe this too, give a lot of value without asking for anything return, right? And I know that's who you are.
Thanks.
And then there's the mid-range opportunity to come and play. And then there's the bigger ticket items. You don't have to speak specifically to that, but what's the first level of connecting with you if we'd like to learn more?
Well, thanks. If you're not a musician, you can contact me through Dan@ smosmasterclass.com. The SMOS stands for Social Media on Steroids. And whether it's a nonprofit, a large corporation, a startup company, an entrepreneur, a service provider, retail chain, whatever it is, I can help you. You can reach me through there. If you're a musician, you can reach me at dan@socialmediamarketingformusicians.com. And through that, you can also, if you go to that website, socialmediamarketingformusicians.com. You can click on my Kindles. It takes you right to Amazon. And more importantly than that, you can sign up for my free webinars that are once a month. In fact, one is tomorrow. And if you're not in the music industry, you're still welcome to join. There's one tomorrow night, which is, well, this may have aired by then, but that's okay. If, for people listening live.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's Wednesday the 28th, 5:30 Pacific time to 6:30 Pacific time. And if you opt into my list on the website, you'll get an email with the information. I always send out a last minute, here's the code, because I know that people join like right before, you know, people are always joining. And I do it on Zoom, so I can have as many as 50 people on at the same time. If you miss it, if it doesn't fit your schedule, register anyways, because I send a link that you have 3 or 4 days to download the recorded, and it's all video.
Listen to it on your own.
I share my screen. I do a PowerPoint. I actually go online and give examples of what I teach.
And these are kind of the basics for this particular webinar. These are some of the...
Some basics and some deep stuff too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm thinking as a learner, you can come and not really
Correct.
Have done any of this, or you've got a little bit of feel and you just want to learn more.
Yes. And you can ask questions unique to your situation. And through either of those email addresses, you can give me an idea of what you do, what your challenges are. And I can send you an email with some examples of the different levels of things that I have available. I have group seminars. I have the one-on-one to client or their team consulting, which is in which I teach it specifically to their niche, their industry, their brand, their challenges, their product, services, whatever it is. And I love doing that. I have so much fun being the Drum Talk TV guy. I mean, a lifetime drummer. I get to interview my biggest living idols and everything. But I have so much passion for teaching this to, whether it's startups or artists or corporations. I really, truly love it. Just enjoy it. Get really wound up about it.
And we need you.
And it's her fault.
Okay,
it's Inge's fault.
How is it? Yeah, she's like, really? Okay, so you have to speak to that. How is it her fault?
You know, I tell people who ask me about entrepreneurship and being successful, what's some of the secret ingredients? What is the secret sauce made up of? And I really believe, you know, passion's a big part of it. You've got to have an idea that serves your target market. All of that is certainly important. But I believe the strongest driver is being surrounded by people who support you 100%. And if you're in a relationship at any level, that person is the point person of all of that. You can have 50 people who believe in you, support you, but if your spouse, your girlfriend, your boyfriend doesn't believe in you, there's this, you know, opposite polar thing going on that where the magnets will never connect. And Inge has just been amazing. I mean, she recognized Drum Talk TV before I did.
I love that. I hadn't heard that, or at least I don't recall hearing that before.
And she said, no, this is the way you got to go. And I was finally sort of lukewarm on it. And then a friend of mine was saying, yeah, man, like, hello. And then he had a friend in television call me and say, you know, I've been looking at your stuff. You're a really good interview. And with all due respect, the drum lessons thing kind of waters it all down. You really should let that go. And I called it Drum Talk. And he said, why don't you call it Drum Talk TV? And I was like, okay, people that know more than me are saying this, so maybe I need to listen.
Maybe I gotta listen.
Yeah, and I did, and it's just been amazing. And Inge has just been so supportive. And now, the only time she works with us, but the only time she works with us is when we cover live on-site events, like the NAMM show, the Singapore Drum Fest. And the capacity she works in is production manager / den mother / babysitter.
I remember you sharing that. I think we were on phone or in an email as we were preparing for this segment. I remember you sharing that. Yeah. I love that. If you're okay, I would love to bring you on just for a couple of minutes as we close out this segment.
Okay, sure.
Clearly, he's shared a lot of information. I know you've heard it multiple times, but I just love hearing him teach. Because really, that's who you are. You're a teacher, right? I mean, it's very easy to hear, clearly hear what you have to say because you illustrate it so well. What are some of the nuggets that you've heard today what do you observe about Dan as he's here in the studio with us today that you'd be willing to share with us?
Oh, wow. I have heard a lot of it, of course. I was right there. But yeah, I'm so proud. That's it. So I'm sitting here. I'm just looking like, oh, there's my baby. You know, I'm so proud. I knew it before it happened. I remember just the formulation of it and to see it in all its glory. And it's not done yet.
No, I clearly hear that as well. This is just the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. And to see it see him shine. It just makes my heart so full and so proud. I'm so proud of him.
And with your business, have you taken aspects of this and you've poured it into what you're doing with your art as it relates to social media? Do you use these tips and techniques in your own business?
I do. And he's so helpful. I think he babysits me when it comes to that, because he'll say, girl, you have to get out there and do this, and you got to get out here and do this. So he's not critical, but as passionate as he is with every other client, he does the same thing with me.
Well, and I think he has to be.
Yeah. And I'm also becoming more hands-on with that for her again. And I even mentioned to her the other day or yesterday, one of my staff members, her name is Taylor, and I said, I think I need to train Taylor and have her help with your stuff. And that all circles back to, even though Anja is doing a certain amount of it hands-on, if you're going to have someone else do the rest, she's learned enough to know that if I'm out of town for 2 weeks or something, she can look at something and either correct Taylor on it or call Taylor and brainstorm on some ideas. Hey, I'm thinking of doing this and that. You know, that's the difference between knowing and just like doing and hoping it works out. Yeah. Hope is not a strategy.
Well, and if it's not your favorite thing to do, right. And I'm making an assumption here, but you are an artist and a great supporter as well in the relationship, as I know you both are for each other. But if it's not your favorite thing to do, you've got to learn it enough to be able to help monitor and manage someone who's going to do it for you
right. In
your voice.
Exactly.
That's
exactly
it.
Right.
That's exactly it.
Right?
That's exactly mm-hmm. it. That's it. Because you're right. But my thing was, and Dan and I talked about this many times, if it's not what you love, then get the person that loves it to do it. Because they're going
to...
knows how to do it. They're going to bring that passion to it.
But you have to... We, as business owners,
we have to
artists, have to know enough about it and who we are.
Exactly.
As an artist, a business owner, entrepreneur, whatever it is mm-hmm. that we're doing, we have to know ourselves well enough to know that the messaging that that person is putting out there, and we're trusting to do it for us, is mm-hmm. doing it in the way that we...
Voice.
Yep. In the brand's voice. And to the whole point of this segment with you today, Dan... strategically, that there is success. I love what you had said about the 10%, right? If we can't shift, say it again for us, because I know I'm going to botch it.
Yeah. Well, so like, and we can use any number, but real numbers are 5%, 2%, 10%, leveraging the 5% theory. And if you can't change the factor of 5% of the people who follow you or your target market or who are aware of you, if only 5% are going to buy from you and you can't change that factor, you got to change what that factor is 5% of. So I tell people, ask yourself, do you want the business sum of 5% of 1,000 people or 5% of 10,000 people, 100,000 people, 1,000,000 people? And that's the difference. You can't change that factor, but you can drive more sales and services and more signups by increasing what it's 5% of.
Yeah, and I said 10%, and I knew as soon as it came out of my mouth. Well, it's okay, but it's not as accurate as 2%, 5%, right? It's really important. I think it depends on, again, what the business is and what everything's going on. But
the industry,
but 2% to 5% is far more accurate. What a pleasure to be with both of you,
you.
Today. And
thank you very much.
I'm excited about our next conversation with Anja when we are back on at 3.
Okay.
We might even go a little bit sooner than that, so we don't have to keep you two waiting. And thank you for traveling to Tempe.
Sure.
I know you don't live too terribly far away, but you do have a lovely home. Globe,
thanks.
Am I right?
Globe, yeah. We're 97 miles from right here.
So you do live quite a ways away.
Yeah. We went to bed at 12:30 and got up at 6 to get ready and do our thing.
Yeah.
That's pretty much a normal day then.
It is.
Yes,
though,
I know. I remember Dan sharing that previously. That's just how the two of you roll.
Yeah.
And so what is the next drum event or musical event that you're covering?
January 24th through the 27th is the NAMM show, and that's the big music trade show. It's not open to the public, but we will be making our public part of the experience because we're streaming every interview, and it's not just me. I have 6 other correspondents at the show with me. If you're a musician and you're going to be there, I will be giving a 1-hour social media on steroids session Sunday, the 27th at noon. We do have a booth this year that's our very own for the first time. It's booth 6732. Come see us. We'll be doing interviews, all kinds of fun stuff. We've got some autograph signings. We're going to have artists hanging out with us. It's very long, hardworking days for us, but it's very fun. Lots of fun. People from all over the world come there. And we'll be doing interviews in Spanish as well. We're bringing our correspondent from Monterrey, Mexico with us.
So yeah. Great. Yeah. Yeah. And to your point, Ninja, that this is just the beginning, right? This more great things to come. And who even knows what looks like, right? Because you stay open to the possibility. You know where you're headed, but then you're also willing to say, all right, take me where I need to go.
Yeah. Exactly. Keep your radar open.
Absolutely. Dan Schinder, again, with Drum Talk TV and social media on steroids and social media
marketing for musicians.
.com. Bum, bum, bum. Hey, are you on social media? Can we find you on social media?
Probably could.
Give us where we can find you again one more time as we close out the segment.
Me personally, I'm happy to connect. It's facebook.com/dan.schinder, S-H-I-N-D-E-R, and Drum Talk TV.
Great.
And the social media stuff through the website and the email.
All right.
That's the best place.
I feel like Dan's getting ready to pass me a note. My other Dan, producer Dan. Do you have something for me? Yes. Did he already cover it?
Yes.
He did. Okay, good.
Okay,
we pass notes every now and again. You can't see that part of it, but we do make sure that we're catching everything that we need to. Again, a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you for having
Dan
me.
Was on with us. It was a few months ago. It's been quite a few months ago, actually. So I came into this particular studio in Mac 6 back in June. And I think it was right before I moved. And then we reconnected at National Speakers Association. And I'm so thrilled that that we made an opportunity to connect and have you celebrate and go more into depth about all the great things you do on behalf of business owners and social media. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, broadcasting live from within the Mac 6 and Conscious Capitalism Arizona studio. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.